Good morning. We are calling to order the August 25th, 2010 variance hearing. My name is Scott Sanchez. I'm the acting zoning administrator here this morning with Ava Etheritz-Haler, the executive secretary, and will be in charge of the controls here. First, general information about the hearing here today. The order of presentation begins with the applicant and or property owner. We'll be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the 5 findings required to grant a variance are justified. Any proponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak during public comment. The same for any opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If there is any testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor or applicant will have 3 minutes for rebuttal. During this time, I may ask questions of the project sponsor and or members of the public. And after this is all concluded, I will close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may indicate an inclination to grant with conditions or deny or may even continue the item. Just to note, the decision is not final until the variance decision letter is issued. Once the variance decision letter is issued, it does carry with it a window of 10 days to appeal to the Board of Appeals. If you would like to receive a copy of the variance decision letter, there is a sign-in sheet over to the right of the podium against the wall. So please sign, put your name and address, the contact information there, and also indicate that you would like a copy of the letter. Now, going into the criteria for justifying a variance, under Section 305C of the Planning Code, 5 findings are established in which the zoning administrator must find that each of these findings is met in order to grant the variance. Finding number 1 is that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. And finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. The decision letter may take 1 to 2 months to be issued because of current backlogs with processing variance applications. As I noted, if you would like to get a copy, please sign in over to the right of the podium. Some just general other issues. If anyone would like to make public comment on an item that is not on the calendar, there will be public comment available at the end of the hearing. And also, private conversations can be disrupted, so please keep that to a minimum. If you need to have a more in-depth conversation, please go out to the hallway. We'll begin with the consent calendar. And items on the consent calendar are matters that are generally considered to be routine. And if you'd like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Please note that the intent for the items that are on the consent calendar is to grant. So if you would like to speak in support, we can pull it off the calendar and have that public testimony. But it's really more important if someone has opposition to any of the items that are on the consent calendar, please step forward. We will take it off the consent calendar and hold a full public hearing on the matter. We had originally scheduled 3 items as consent. We have since added a 4th item. And so, Ava, if you'd like to read the items on consent calendar.
Okay. The following items are considered consent items. Item number 1, case number 2010.0241V, 55 Laurel Street, expansion of non-compliant variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2010.0421V, 2412 to 2420 18th Street, minimum lot area variance sought. Item number 3, 2010.0487B, case number 130 18th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. And the fourth item, to be moved to the consent calendar. Case number 2010.0387V, 76 Diamond Street, front setback variance sought.
Thank you. Now, is there anyone here who would like to speak on any of those four items? And again, they are 55 Laurel Street, 2412 to 2418 Street, 130 18th Avenue, and 76 Diamond Street. Is there anyone here to speak on any of those items? So seeing none, the public hearing is closed on these four consent items, and we are issuing an intent to grant those four requested variances. So now we'll be going on to the regular calendar.
Item number four, case number 2010.0278V, 3335 Buchanan Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance sought. Is the sponsor here for this property?
Yes.
Please approach the podium. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Is our requesting to an addition to building a proposed garage, one-car garage, addition to a building. Right now we have an open area that's in the back of the existing building that's not being used at all. It's actually of no function whatsoever. And what I'd like to do is, in order to get a, I currently have one parking place that's this deeded to me in this building. And what I wanted to do was, fill that area in with another garage, a one-car garage, so that I could take the garage off of the street and put it in there. I wouldn't be taking any light or space away from any of the surrounding buildings. It actually has a retaining wall now at that property that comes up about 5.5 feet. All I would be doing is going up approximately another couple feet above that. Just enough, the height requirement, just enough for a single car garage. And the parking in the area is at a premium, of course, because of Muscogee Park and all the businesses and everything. So I was hoping that this would be looked upon as an advantage, that it would supply more parking to the area, and it would take one car off of the street that I currently have out there all the time. But other issues are that I'm the only house on the block that has an opening like this, which also allows access to the other buildings, to the rears of the other buildings and backyards. And that creates a security issue for the other buildings and their concerns also. And what I would like to do is, by making this garage in the back, it would make it a more secure area in the back. And also, being an older building from the 30s, we don't have any rear access out of the building at all in case there was a fire. Our only access would be in the front of the building. So as a safety issue, I would build some stairs that would come down on top of the garage on the deck that's going to be put there. And that would allow us to exit out of that building. I currently have my wife, a teenage son, and my father-in-law, who's 54. We'd like to be able to have the safety issue, to be able to get out the back of the building and actually be able to have access to a car immediately there in case we need to take him to daycare, or not daycare, but any assisted care if he needs medication. And I've talked to all the neighbors in the area. They're all in compliance. They all say that absolutely they have no objections. In fact, they welcome the idea for security issues in because of the way they're looking and area on the block. And I've done just about everything I can to approach everybody, get everybody's input. And I think it's a really good idea, not only for ourselves, but also for the whole neighborhood. And I was hoping that we could grant this, this variance so we could put this in.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments there, and just have a few questions. First, have you considered applying for a variance for building permit to install simply the stairs from both of the units down to the rear yard?
No, we haven't done that. We're actually looking towards it because it would also be an issue that it would come down a shorter distance, and it also would allow us to have the usage of a deck that would be on top of the garage. So it would take the place of a backyard that isn't being used at all because it's sort of dark and damp down there, being at that street level. And no, but to answer your question, we haven't looked into any stairs in the back that would...
There are currently two units in the building?
Yes.
And there are three parking spaces. You possess or heated one space, and the other unit has two parking spaces. So you do currently have the required parking provided. Because, you know, there's a parking requirement, there's one parking space per dwelling unit. So you're currently meeting the requirements of the planning code, and you do have access to a vehicle in your building at any time. I do have concerns about the proposal. Appreciate the, your desire to improve. I see you're adding street trees. You're trying to improve the block space there and provide more usable open space and access for the units. And one of the biggest concerns is that this would ultimately result in the loss of one on-street parking space and privatize that essentially by having it on your property. So that is a concern that I have on the impact on the neighborhood. Especially given that it is existing, you're already meeting the requirements of the planning code. This is not necessary to meet the requirements.
In all honesty, I probably occupied that space myself the whole time because of the area of parking permit. It's the closest place. As far as taking away a space, I understand that what you're talking about, but I just wanted to include that I probably took up that space myself the whole time. So it's.
Sounds like you have good access to parking for the second vehicle as well already?
When I can. It's like I say, it's 100 yards up from Moscone Park, and I'm right off of Chestnut Street and Union Street in the busy areas of the corridor, so it's hit and miss down there. It's pretty bad.
So have you looked at any other alternatives to try to provide additional parking space within the existing building envelope? Is there like stackers or some other form of parking, is anything viable?
I wish there were. Unfortunately, no, we couldn't put a stacker in there. I wish I could. That'd be an easy solution, but no, it's unfortunately, I can't go that way.
See, yeah, there's the three cars, as you can see, and then the existing condo unit, which has a story and a half on that one condo. It took some between. And one of the points he didn't mention, but it's interesting, is that...
If you could start stepping on the microphone so we could have this recorded.
This is the rear yard. And you can't get to the rear yard without going through the garage, which is tight, as you can see. It's not that big. The width of the lot is undersized today, and so it's really very difficult to do anything. So to get to the backyard, they've got to go through the garage even to use it. So it's... we felt that because all the neighbors, and we had the letters signed by seven neighbors, everybody was absolutely adjacent to this, they said, no problem. Now, we realize it challenges some of the parts of the code, literally it does. But Marina is well known as being one of the worst places to park in the city, outside of out front here. It's kind of bad. And this doesn't hurt anybody, everybody likes it. The neighborhood, raising the ground up one floor, which is, he said, there are two 5 foot high concrete block walls on either side of the backyard. So, we're only raising it another few feet to get the deck on there. And it's so much in a hole that there's 3 and 4 story buildings all the way around. So, when you're really down on the ground, it's pretty dark down there. You really don't get the idea if you want to be outside. And he has a piece of property he'd like to use in this way that meets most things, and nobody objects.
Just for the record, I believe the department did receive one letter of opposition within the last week. It was from a neighbor a few doors down on Buchanan. The concerns that were stated were apparently egress. They were concerned about losing the ability to jump over several fences and make it to
okay.
We did receive that letter.
That's
good. And then I do appreciate that you're trying to improve the access to the useful open space and would encourage that. But I think that there are other alternatives to provide that improved access that may still require variance, but would have less of a perceived negative impact on the on-street parking. And that's sort of the quantity that we have here. see if there are any members of the public here that would like to comment on this item. So seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on this item. Appreciate your comments and testimony. Considering the application, the plans, the evidence before this morning, it is my intent to deny the requested variance. A decision letter will be issued. You will receive a copy, and you may appeal that to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the variance decision letter. So you're free of information. Thank you. And on the next item, please.
Item number 5, case number 2007.0389V, 228 Raymond Street, front setback variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Tony Kim. I'm here to represent the project sponsor. We've worked very closely with Ms. Jackson and the residential design team to redesign the front of the building to reduce the mass of the front and incorporate an irregular front setback. The proposal, since its advertisement, now provides a 4-foot irregular front setback to acknowledge the significant front setback of the adjacent building directly to the east. And the front bay window has been removed and replaced with an open deck so that it appears that the entire building is set back away from the street. The exceptional and extraordinary circumstances is that the building along the block face are built all the way to the front property line with very limited front setbacks when they do have them, which vary, and there is no established pattern. The adjacent building directly to the east, which is a lovely home, is a single family house that straddles two legal lots. And with the double the permitted buildable area, they can afford to maintain the 19-foot, 6-inch front setback. I would also like to highlight that the property has a significant side yard abutting the subject property, resulting in a significant gap between our proposed side building wall and the only 3-story building in the immediate area. I believe this 11x17 sandboard map that I submitted illustrates the existing conditions. The little enforcement of the code would require my client to provide a 9-foot, 6-inch front setback that really provides no public benefit and would be out of character when compared to the prevailing street wall of the block face. The 19-foot, 6-inch front setback of the adjacent building is really the anomaly of the block face, and having to respond to that significant front setback is really an unnecessary hardship not created by my client. My client decided to preserve the existing building in it as is condition, not to add any verticality to it, to maintain the side yard, to acknowledge the side yard of the property directly to the east. And so in this case, it makes sense to put the bulk of the building, the addition, towards the front to be compatible with the existing build pattern. This project would allow my client to create a family-sized, single-family house for a multi-generational living space. And this is a substantial property right enjoyed by others in the area in the same class of district. As I mentioned, we were very close with your staff, and with the modifications that we have made, I believe that the granting of this variance would not be detrimental to the area. The code required front setback would really not contribute to a positive pedestrian scale, but create a void of unnecessary space between the public and private realm. Furthermore, the residential design guidelines suggest that infill or alteration projects can play an important role in acting as a transition between front setbacks of varying depths, since the building to the west has no setback and the building to the east has a 19-foot setback. We believe the irregular front setback would unify the overall rhythm of the streetscape, and it acknowledges that there is a building that's set back as an anomaly on the street. In closing, I believe we've met all the required findings to justify this variance request. The project complies with the residential design guidelines and the general plan for a harmonious development that is consistent with the existing built pattern and Proposition M. Thank you for your attention. I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. And I have to admit, when I first reviewed this application, I did have troubles with the application and how the front setback was treated, especially in relationship to the adjacent property. And I'd say that I think in your supplemental submittal that was received earlier this week, our department, you made a strong case that the prevailing block face is out to the front property line and that the neighboring property as an outlier, and really the sole property that does have such a substantial setback and the impacts that that has on the front setback requirement for the subject property. Additionally, they already have a code-compliant rear yard. They are building to the front. They did receive a historic resource review, and the project was found to be complying with that. And also had gone through extensive review with the residential design team. I appreciate your working with the residential design team and the staff planners to come to a project that the department could support. So with that, we'll see if there are any public comment on the item. Anyone here in support or in opposition to this application? With that, I will close the variance hearing for this item. And based upon the materials that were submitted, the application, and the public hearing, it's my intent to grant the requested variance.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2010.0330V, 2621 Diamond Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance sought. The sponsor here. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I'm Adam King, the owner of the property, the wife and the neighbor of the year.
Can you speak closer to the mic?
My name is Adam King. I'm an owner of the property. My wife and a neighbor are here if you wish to involve in the proceedings. The addition is, as you know, an obstruction in the current rear yard. It is below brick. We have had no word of any opposition from any neighbors. In fact, the notice for this hearing probably has a great impact on the neighborhood in this project, right? But we've had nothing but support from our neighbors on this, so I think we can move on from that. The first finding that exceptional extraordinary circumstances as we found here is lot configuration and topography. This is a wide lot, but the short shorter on one side than the other. The topography changes from 24 feet from front to back. These conditions set up unique context for adding on. We could add to the side yard, however, there is a retaining wall there. And I've shown the retaining wall that's on the south side. The retaining wall on the north is longer, as you can see from the plans, and extends the full length of the kitchen. Grade is built up fully on that side. A grade fell here when the joining property was added to. If we were to replace this retaining wall and build that to our property line, we would undermine the footings of the adjoining property and have to restore those foundations. It's prohibitive. It rises, I would think, to the standard of that phrase being constructed, you know, difficulty of construction. Furthermore, it would block windows that are currently used for light and ventilation and would lose a landscape side yard. The alternative to building in this light well in the back, it's fairly bad. This is seen from below. and this is from above, would be to make use of a space which is dark and subject to rot, filled with leaves and all kinds of things. There's just so much sense in using this space for this edition as opposed to using the side yard. The, to me, the specific terms of the third finding, we basically had no other place to go. This one's a very logical one. There is no negative impact. In fact, there are several positive ones from the point of view of contiguous open space. It improves the rear yard. There's no loss of the side yard. The property right involved here, I would assume, is to be able to add or resolve awkward layouts in a property. The property was originally moved here, it was a single-story property. It was moved here as a two-bedroom house.
You have 30 seconds, sir.
This is the original layout of the kitchen. It shows circulation and two bedrooms. These were the original plans. You can see they had great difficulty with the kitchen. This was not what was finally built. The current situation is we walk past our stove to go anywhere in the house. We'd like to solve this.
Thank you. Just for the record, the department did receive one information from one neighbor who was in opposition to the project. Mm-hmm. The Section 311 neighborhood notification for the building permit expired recently on August 18th, 2010. No discretionary reviews were filed during that time. I believe the neighbor had concerns about the expansion into the required rear yard and had cited a recent variance decision at 47 to 49 Sussex, which is they had proposed a garage addition in the rear yard with access from Penny Lane. And so the I was familiar with that variance and represented the department at the Board of Appeals hearing for that variance and find that that is incomparable to the application that is before us here today. The other referenced application on Sussex had a garage that completely occupied the required rear yard and did provide two off-street parking spaces. The lane there has been improved by the neighbors as part of the street parks program. And so really that's why the zoning administrator at the time had denied that application. The Board of Appeals did uphold that denial. So just wanted to make that clear. And in terms of the application, it's completely below grade, essentially. It's allowed the expansion of a kitchen to modernize for current living. It's a upsloping lot, wouldn't be visible from the street. It's an existing excavated area, which is not usable, I mean, other than for storage and, as you said, for leaves and things to die in. So, and in fact, it could improve mid-block open space by, and it may sound odd, but you're creating grade at the grade level, and you're essentially moving the retaining wall. So, yeah, those are my comments on it. But I want to see if there are any members of the public here to speak either in support or in opposition to the project.
I'd like to support it.
Please approach.
Please come forward. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Sorry, 3 minutes.
If you say your name for the record.
Maureen Cronin. I may be a neighbor on the adjacent north side of their house, and I completely support it. I think we would be the most affected by, you know, any work being done there whatsoever. And we have no problem with it. I think it's going to improve the property value of probably our house as well. So I think that we should. Should be granted.
Well, thank you for coming here today and supporting me. Any other members of the public here to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on this item, and considering the application, the information that was presented here today at the hearing, I'd be inclined to grant the request of variance. Thank you. If we could move on to the next item, please.
Item number 7, case number 2010.0363V309 Jersey Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Alan Martinez. I'm the project architect. There are really two issues with this lot. For starters, we have about a 14-foot 7 front yard, and which takes up a good portion of the lot. The required rear yard cuts across the existing original part of the structure. This was the original around 1900 structure from here to here. A number of these buildings here that were built at the same time all have one-story rear yard structures that reach considerably over the required open space. What our project seeks to do is to add a second floor to the original structure, which means that we would be 6'6" into the required open space, which is no longer really open space, but built out as a one-story structure. So it's not going to really affect anyone on either side in terms of their light and air. The proposed addition would be set back on either side from the property line. The practical difficulty is that it would be cutting across, if we built it back to the what we're allowed, it would cut across the structure in such a way that the back portion of the structure would really be unusable. I mean, we couldn't have a 6-foot-wide bedroom. It would actually be less than that. So we would only be able to build back to this wall, which means that we'd lose several feet of potential buildable area. And also structurally, to do that becomes really costly and complicated. It's not going to be visible from the street. In terms of public welfare, it's not visible from the street. It doesn't enter the neighbors on either side. The neighbors on either side are to the east and the west. The sun is to the south, so it will have very limited shadow impact on the neighbors on either side. We're only raising the existing gable by 7'8". We're keeping the side walls at 7 foot on the inside, so we're really minimizing as much as we can. Really, what we're trying to do is to develop the lot as much as we can, considering the fact that we're ceding 14'7" to the public as a front yard that really my client doesn't have a lot of use for. Christian, would you like to say something? He did talk to the neighbors and can speak about that.
Hi, I just wanted to mention for this project, I've lived in the house since 2001, and we're trying to have families, like a one-bedroom, one-bath house with an attic. It's just not usable for any purpose beyond that. And we've talked to all of the neighbors, and neighbors immediately on either side of us and behind us. I have a letter of support from one of them if you want it. They're in favor of the project, and it's not going to impact them. And we've had all of them over to our home to look at it and look at the plans and everything.
Thank you. I think you've put forward a compelling argument, especially considering the large front setback, the upsloping nature of the lot. We've also developed, I think, a very sensitive addition. And as you noted, it's not creating any additional, any net new impact on the block open space or into the rear yard. And given that it is an upsloping lot, the perception of the addition on view from the rear will be minimal or a little bit less, given that condition, and also that there was a previous variance, I believe, in 1989 for that rear deck, so there has been some history here of allowing the additions. It's my understanding that Section 311 neighborhood notification is currently underway and will expire on September 12, 2010. So I think what I would do in this matter is take it under advisement pending the completion of the Section 311 neighborhood notification to see if there's any additional comments that the public may be able to provide. The neighborhood notification under the Section 311 is slightly different. It will provide also occupants within 150 feet, so there may be some valuable comments that could come in through there, but I think as you can tell from the tone of my comments, I would look favorably.
I do want to mention for the record that it does include the one-story extension of the kitchen to the light well, which will also go 6'6" back part of them.
Okay.
So it's both the two-story and the little one-story piece that's tucked away. Just,
yeah, I'm
just make sure that's it. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here to speak on this item, either in support or in opposition to the subject application? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment on this item, and considering all the materials that have been presented today and the testimony, I would like to take this under advisement, pending the completion of the Section 311 neighborhood notification. And on to the next item, please.
Item number 8, case number 2010.0602V, 2841 Divisadero Street, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez, Jim Rubin with Rubin and Junius, working with the project sponsors, and I'll be splitting my time with Lewis Butler, who is the project architect, for the record, and just to make sure that it's part of the verbal record as well. There were two submittals. There was an initial submittal with the application checklist, and then that submittal was supplemented. We took a look at the original and thought we could do perhaps a little better job elaborating on the exceptional circumstances and the hardship issue, which we know is important to you and your consideration. The project itself is a rear yard deck. It goes 10 feet into the rear yard. It's approximately 20 feet above ground level, and it's entirely cantilevered, so there's nothing about that deck that will actually touch the ground, and it is of a width of approximately one half of the size of the lot. Lewis will talk more about this, but the pattern of this particular block, which is an unusual block, and I'll get to that for a moment, there are six structures on the block itself. Four of them already encroach significantly in some cases, in fact entirely, at least in one case, into the rear yard. This would be the fifth, and then there's one property that does not encroach as of right now. And there's a good reason for that. The block itself is unusual. There's a steep grade in two directions, south to north and east to west, which creates a situation where when you grade to create a pad to build upon, you end up with ground level over 20 feet below where the living levels are. And it's obvious what's happened with the rest of the structures of the block. They've remedied that by putting decks at the living level so that they can get some usable open space that doesn't require an elevator or a lot of walking up and down stairs every single time. As I said, the submittals address each one of the five hardships and talk about them directly. I'm going to let Lewis address a little bit more of the visible aspects of the block. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, good morning. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for the project at 2841 Divisadero. Jim did a very good job describing the context, but I'll put up for further description an aerial photograph of the area. What you see are the six properties that Jim mentioned going from right to left. The first two of these do have decks off the living level. You can see them right in this area right here. They're actually quite a bit larger than they appear in the foreshortened aerial photograph. What we're asking you to do is essentially put a very similar deck off the main living area, and that would be right here in that corner that's between our subject property and the house next door. The house next door has living area that extends much further than this, and a deck that extends on top of living area, in addition to behind living area on another floor. You'll see them going down the hill. The next property has a sunken rear yard that they use as a basketball court, and the last property does have full lot coverage. Again, the hill slopes two ways, and so that this deck that we're building does not get anyone's view. We did have one question, or two questions from neighbors. One turned out to be unaffected completely. The other is this neighbor right here. His name is George Redd. And I talked to George, he's in Lake Tahoe. I tried to call him again, he's got on a cell phone up there. He wanted to verify that this deck was not in his view, and indeed it is not, and I'll explain why that is.
Okay,
The second photograph is exactly where this deck will be off of the main level living area of the house. This will be a family room which opens to a kitchen. Incidentally, the reason for doing this is that this is a retired couple. They live in Montreal. They're, both their daughters live out here. There's new grandchildren. And the deck we're going to build has not unusually, but 4.5-foot high glass railings so they can actually have an exterior space for the grandkids when they come to stay with the grandparents. But as you can see, we're building this deck out to the edge of the shingled wall that you see, and it will still be below the deck of the adjacent house, despite the fact that the hill slopes down in that direction. So we are fitting this deck in a kind of a corner between the two houses that is really not something that, that obstructs anybody's view or light or quality of life in any way. I will conclude right there and would like to invite any questions.
Thank you. Just I'd like to also confirm that we did receive the complaint from the adjacent property owner stating that they were concerned about you, and our initial response was the same, that it would really not have a negative impact on their view. I would also note that view is not protected under the planning code either. Initially, I did have a lot of concerns about the project and appreciate the submittal dated August 13th, 2010, which helped me to better understand the application. And, you know, at first I was concerned with the fact that it's a single-family dwelling, that they already have access to the rear yard at the ground level, that there are other decks and balconies on the building that provide usable open space. But considering the nature of the lot, the steeply sloping nature of the lot, the existing rear yard is, I wouldn't call it a pit, but it is definitely not the most usable quality. And given that the adjacent properties, they clearly demonstrated that this is a pattern in the neighborhood to have these larger upper level decks to provide usable open space from the main living levels. In this case, it'll provide it from the kitchen level as well. So those were some of my comments on the matter. There's been no Section 311 neighborhood notification yet.
I don't believe so, no.
All right. Are there any members of the public here that would like to speak on this item, either in support or in opposition? Seeing none, we'll conclude the public hearing on this item, and it's my intention to grant the variance based upon the information that was presented today at the application and also the additional briefing materials that were submitted by the requester. So with that, can we move on to the next item, please?
Item number 9, case number 2010.0467V, 161-165 Newman Street, minimum lot area, rear yard depth, and usable open space variance sought.
The sponsor, ma'am?
You have 5 minutes.
Okay. My name is Vicki Rideout. I'm one of the co-owners. I'm a longtime resident of the city. My husband was born and raised in Visitation Valley. We've been homeowners here for 12 years and are active members in the Bernal community, including having founded a neighborhood group called Neighbors Improving Bernal that is cleaning up and beautifying the Tompkins Street stairs down to the Alameda Farmers Market. With regard to finding number one, we believe that our situation is exceptional, primarily because there already exist two completely independent, functionally separate homes on this lot with no shared access or open space. And because it's a corner lot, both homes have abundant off-street parking, street frontage, and lots of light. With regard to finding two, on the other hand, literal enforcement of the code would deny us the most basic property rights that are enjoyed by our neighbors, which is the right to make independent decisions about how to maintain our two homes, how to improve them, finance them, refinance them, insure them, transfer our two completely independent and separate homes. These are rights that are enjoyed by many of our neighbors. There are 22 lots within a quarter mile of this property with lot sizes as small as or smaller than the smallest of the two lots that we'd be creating, including directly across the street from us, where the corner lot has already been split into two lots that are roughly the same size as our two lots would be, and we believe we deserve the same property rights that those owners have. We think there would be no detriment to the public welfare. Legal separation of the two homes is going to have absolutely no impact on the amount of open space, the rear yard, the parking, the street frontage. I mean, nothing is going to change other than moving one staircase 2 feet to the west. And finally, we also believe that allowing the legal separation of the two homes would further the cause of affordable home ownership by creating two more affordable properties instead of one more expensive one. And with that, I'm going to turn it over the remainder of the time to my co-owner, Ms. Anderson.
I just have a few comments to make. I'm not used to public speaking, so I may be a little bit nervous, but would just like to read the comments, hopefully within the time allowed. And as a way of introduction, I'd also like to say that I have long-term roots in the community. I don't know if that matters as much. Nobody else has talked about it, but I've lived in and worked in the city for over 40 years. Retired last year from the Department of Public Health, a 30-year career doing environmental work for the city. I've owned property for 25 years, living both in the Bayview and the Vernal Heights neighborhood. So in those years, I've worked to hopefully better the city and improve the neighborhoods that I've lived in. So briefly, the history of the property that created our unique and exceptional circumstance is that the original smaller home, 161 Newman, was constructed in the 1920s prior to other development on Newman or Andover Streets. That house was situated in the rear of the corner lot and is what is now defined as the unbuildable portion of that lot. Due to the newer codes, the structure is considered to be legal but non-conforming. The location of the lot at the corner of the block allowed for the construction of 165 Newman in 1999, and this is the additional separate adjacent structure. 165 Newman was built to all current codes and standards. I'm proud to have participated in the design of that, and didn't intend to use the area between the two houses as the open space. Wanted to depend on the deck and the balcony because we normally don't enjoy this type of weather. It's usually cold and windy on that hill. And the size of that open space, I believe, is significant. So in our view, the literal enforcement of the planning code requirements for the lot area would deny us the owners parity of treatment with owners of many other parcels that are within Vernal Heights that are either smaller or developed in a similar manner as ours without there being compensating public benefit. We've submitted that property list of lots we've identified that are smaller than the required, and Edgar Oropesa also developed a lot. So granting the variance will support, we believe, the general city policy of encouraging individual homeownership. Will meet several other critical planning code requirements like exposure, light exposure, open space parking, and will allow my partner and I to own our residence in a similar manner as the majority of the other owners in the surrounding neighborhood. So we don't believe that this,
please wrap up the thought.
Okay, absolutely. We don't plan on making any other changes to the buildings other than meeting the building code requirements for the staircase. And I don't believe you'll have comment negatively about our project. And we did include a submittal of our neighbors who encouraged the project. And so lastly, our proposal is consistent with the generally stated intent of the planning code for orderly and beneficial development, providing quality living environment and construction of well-designed houses and conserving the existing neighborhood character. Thank you very much.
Just to clarify a few points, the building at 165 Newman, you said, was constructed in 1999. Was it a completely new construction in 1999? Or
yes. There was nothing on the lot previously. There was a tree there, and it was just a lot. So the building department and department of planning reviewed it as a completely new structure.
And one of the arguments that you put forward is that this would improve affordable housing, and you made the argument for how it would improve the ownership of the building and ease that. Can you describe a little bit the current ownership structure? Is it a TIC? Is it subscribed?
It's a TIC. I own, we own it together.
And the RH is, the building is within an RH2 zoning district, which does allow two dwelling units. So if the subdivision were to be granted, you could essentially double the density on this lot. Do you have any intention of adding dwelling units to either of these properties?
No, none at all.
And would you consider a condition of approval that would prohibit the addition of a dwelling unit to either property and require each one to be a single family dwelling?
I believe your question is, would we approve of that type of restriction to the development?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. But that said, I do have concerns about the increased discrepancy that we do have with the code here, and that it's needed to grant several variances here, as well as space for a yard in a lot area. Just save my concerns there, but want to see if there are any members of the public here who would like to speak either in support or in opposition to the application.
If I could just respond to that, please. One, that concern that you expressed, the one thing about this that is exceptional, though, is that none of that will change whatever the legal situation. And the only thing that allowing the legal split of the two lots will do is to grant us those independent property owner rights that our neighbors do have, and that a lot of neighbors in our Bernal area do have, including directly across the street from us.
Thank you.
It was very nice for, it would have been very nice for our neighbors to come down to support our project, but they liked it, but they didn't want to come down. So they did, quite a number of them indicate that they were in agreement.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any opposition being received.
Okay, and you have it in the record too of our neighbors who are in
So seeing that there's no public comment on this item, I'll close the public hearing. While I do understand the arguments that the requesters have made, we have some concerns and would like to take this matter under advisement to consider it further.
Is there anything that we can assist you with in terms of your consideration?
I'll have the staff planner contact you regarding that matter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So moving to item number 10, case number 2010.0329V, 1148 Shotwell Street, rear yard variance on.
You have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic. Okay.
Good morning. Since it's the first time I've done this, go buy a home. We don't buy homes very often. The goal of our project is to actually enhance. We bought this project on Shotwell, and the house is already a variance by definition because it already extends beyond the 45% setback. I think it was built prior to probably the setback laws being set. So one of the issues we have is any development at all requires getting a variance on the particular house. And I think if you look quickly at the back of the building, the current back of the building is fairly dilapidated. It happens to be a concrete slab in the back, and a very small deck of stairs in the back. And the part of the project goals is to add one extra enclosed parking, and to go ahead and open the back up and open the back area up from the living space and the bedroom space with a rear deck. There is no. We are not increasing the size of the home. In fact, we're actually taking away part of the upper structure, and we plan on bringing out the bottom to add a little bit of extra parking and open up the deck. So we're actually trying to open up the rear space, but we're not. There really is no issue as far as the next door neighbors, as far as building up the structure and actually expanding the size of the side of the house. So I believe that the extraordinary circumstances of the building is by definition, the building is a variance. So we can't do any development in the back other than build out the back of the house that exists entirely today without going through the variance process. Our neighbors all pretty much can all park in the back on Virgil Street. In fact, in the neighborhood, the everyone has access to parking on Virgil Street right now. And in fact, the building used to actually have access from Virgil Street. There was a parking structure in the existing home that was destroyed by the neighbors previously. And parking on Shotwell Street is very difficult, so we would like to add a second enclosed parking space so we can keep both of our costs and not put any further pressure on the parking on Shotwell Street. Ideally, we would like to be able to access our parking from Virgil Street, because it's very difficult to access the property from Shotwell Street due to a very long driveway, and also because it's a very old building, built in 1900, we don't want to change the facade of the house. It's been a carriage house. It's a very small carriage house at the side of the house, and we don't actually want to touch that, and we want to leave that as is in order not to even have a discussion about any historical aspects. We do not believe that. We have spoken with our neighbors. We have a petition from our neighbors, which we can submit to you. The petition was put together by our next-door neighbor, the neighbor who is probably would be the most impacted by the property development, which is a neighbor to the south. So that's the only neighbor that would see that we would be doing the addition. And she has gone and gotten the signatures in support of the variance. And she owns four or five properties on the street. So she's actually very happy that we're finally doing something with this particular property, since our the previous owner had not done any work on the property probably since the 70s.
Thank you. I did have concerns about this application as well. Had I think a little difficulty understanding the hardship here. It's a single-family dwelling. You already have one parking space, which is the required number of parking spaces. You're seeking to add a second parking space extending into the required rear yard. Having seen additional information, including especially those photographs of Virgil, it is not a pedestrian-friendly alley. It doesn't have a sidewalk. It's not to be really be used by members of the public. So, I mean, that was one of my concerns, especially with having a second garage door. And I think I still do find it a little bit problematic, but I think it definitely has a very vehicular character on Virgil.
I did take a look on Virgil. Just in Virgil alone, there's at least 9 separate parking garages in there and then other 4. So it's really almost an existing parking structure on Virgil.
Yeah, I walked down it on Google yesterday.
Oh,
so
I see.
And saw that. And definitely there is a strong character there. So, and also, while you're going into the required rear yard to provide for the second parking space, you're also offsetting it with a reduction, and you're providing a usable open space in the form of a deck with stairs down to the required rear yard. You're not resulting in any reduction of any on-street parking spaces. See, Virgil would, no one would be parking behind your building there. They would just simply be obstructing the alley if they did so. I'm a little concerned about the treatment of the rear yard and the use of as a driveway, and just how that would impact kind of the character. And I'm sure that you would be as well. So, do you have any plans for landscaping of that driveway, permeable surface? What are your plans for them?
Yes, we can.
Well, the driveway actually is not a driveway. It's just maybe like stone planted with grass, and you know, we want to make it more green than right now. What we have is concrete, and it's pretty not. This is the back of the beautiful backyard right now. So we're trying to make that. There's 2 structures. That's the garage from the neighbors who has 4 or 5 houses on Shotwell.
This is the building
next to it too. So it's a 2-story building. So it would be nice to have the deck up on the main floor, so we don't
feel like being squeezed by it.
I think the answer is that we do plan on landscaping.
Yes.
Do you have any other photos of the rear yard or your current rear yard, just at different angles?
This one. Okay. This one here. So this one is the master bedroom right now. It used to be a kitchen here, so that would be a master. And this is gonna stay the same, and this is gonna be all gonna be landscape here.
And so you're gonna be removing the concrete and permeable surface.
Actually, the concrete they were caving, but it's really thin concrete. So when the cars just try to park in the back, it just all sand and thin concrete. It's like
easy to remove, hopefully. Okay, well, thank you. I think that helps me to better understand the application. So, are there any members of the public here to speak either in support or in opposition to the subject's application? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment on this item. And as I said, I initially did have concerns about the application, but given the trade-off that's being made with the reduction in the building envelope, the increase in the usable open space, also the improvements that will be made to the required rear yard in terms of landscaping and that the driveway and other surfaces will be permeable, and also acknowledging the building as a historic resource and that additions to the front, which would be code compliant, could and probably would negatively impact the character of the building and the integrity of the building. So with those reasons, for those reasons, and considering the information that you presented here and in your application, it's my intention to grant the requested variance. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, please.
Last item, item number 11, case number 2010.0608B, 1221 Jones Street, canopy obstruction variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Don Bragg with the Product Group. I'm representing the owners today. I have no presentation. I'm just here for any comments you might have.
I would appreciate a presentation that outlines the justifications that you have for the project and why it should require a variance, please.
The project's located at the very top of Knob Hill. Variance is to incorporate a glass canopy over the entry. We already have permits to do a lobby improvement in this. This portion obviously requires a variance based on the city codes. The canopy is located sufficiently above the street as not to create any obstructions. It does stick out several feet beyond what is allowed. We have done a survey of the blocks around us. There are at least three other canopies that are a bit lower than ours. They're all canvas canopies, and they all require outside supports at the sidewalk. Our canopy is fully cantilevered and does not require any additional supports on the outer edge of the sidewalk. And in conclusion, its intent is to complete our new storefront, where we've created a glass enclosure around our new lobby. And we feel that the design is in keeping with the overall improvements to the exterior of the building.
Could you elaborate on the hardship in this case?
The intent here is to extend the lobby out into the public way. And again, in serving the neighborhood, we feel that there are a number of situations in the neighborhood that have that are also at least would be part of the variance today, the request for variance today, to bring their identities out, and we'd like to be in keeping with that with our property as well, so that it has equal marketing ability with the other properties on the street.
So it's more of an economic issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's the intent here is to improve the identity of the property.
And so So the awning itself, I believe, is projects 9 feet, and it requires a variance for the last 2.5 feet. So why can't you do a code-compliant canopy?
It's an architectural projection. It's intended to reach out over the sidewalk and provide the same sorts of protection as the other canopies on the block, which all extend out to the far side of the sidewalk, which ours does not.
So your argument is that a extension of 6.5 feet would not provide protection to people coming to the building?
Our intent is architecturally, we feel that the way it's designed appropriately covers the sidewalk and the traffic moving on either side.
I'm certainly sympathetic to kind of protecting the tenants of the building from the inclement weather of the city. And currently, there is an open lobby. Isn't that correct? And the part of the proposal is to add doors at the entrance?
Correct. Well, it's not part of our proposal today. We've already received permit to do that.
So currently, if someone needed to seek shelter, they would just simply walk inside?
It's a secured lobby. It's not immediate access, but...
But they would be able to at least shelter themselves from the elements?
True.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. And any members of the public here to speak in support or in opposition to the subject application? Thank you. Seeing that, we'll close the hearing on this. And I think, as you may infer from the comments that I had, I don't see the hardship in this case. I believe a code-compliant alternative would provide just the same amount of protection from the elements. And also, I think the strongest hardship argument that you would make is that it's to protect people who are like kind of queuing up for the door, but part of that hardship is being created by the changes that you were making here to bring the door further out. So, you know, for those reasons, I don't see the justifications to grant a variance, and my inclination to deny the variance based upon the application, the testimony here today, for those reasons. Thank you. And just also let you know that the variance decision letter is appealable to the Board of Appeals. There's a 10-day window after the issuance of the decision letter for which you can appeal to the Board of Appeals.
Thank you.
And that's the last item.
Last item.
Yeah, the number
2010.0421. Please come forward.
And this is for an item that's not included in the calendar, ma'am?
What was the address of the property?
The address is 2412-2420 18th Street. And the case number is 2010.0421B, and it says Wednesday, August 25th, beginning at 9:30 a.m.
Right, that's the number two item of the consent calendar.
Okay. So,
and that was...
That has already been acted granted. Upon. We held the public hearing already for that item at the beginning of the calendar. It is scheduled as item number two under the consent calendar. Consent calendars are items that are generally thought to be routine. So that was on the published calendar for the hearing. So I'm sorry if the public comment for this item was already closed. The item was granted, and a variance decision letter will be issued. There's a 10-day window to appeal the variance decision letter. And I would suggest if you have concerns in opposition to the project that you should add your name to the list that's over by the wall. And if you put in your name, address, and check to have the decision letter mailed to you, will be mailed to you, and then you'll be able to file and appeal within the 10-day window.
On that day, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So are there any public comments? And I've seen no members of the public who would adjourn this hearing.